Father, we come here today and we invite your presence to fill this place. Where we lack in numbers, Lord, we pray for angels to sit among us. Father, where we are insufficient, we pray that your grace give us what we lack. And we pray that our hearts will be changed and our faith made firm today by what we hear. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I was a child, I loved playing childhood games. I grew up with a brother and a ton of cousins, and we would get together every week, and the kids would be shuffled off to some back room and given a game or told just to generally be quiet and not get in the way of the adults. And we thought it was great fun. We played chasey, we chased each other around the backyard. We played brandy. I don't know if kids still play brandy anymore, where you take the tennis ball and you try and hit each other so hard with the tennis ball that it leaves a brand on your skin. I don't know. Kids come up with these ideas. It seemed like fun at the time. But we also played some sports. We played backyard cricket. And boy, did we have all the rules worked out for backyard cricket. One hand, one bounce, and they were out. Over the fence meant six and out, right? And we loved our childhood games. Most of all, I guess we loved hide and seek. There was a special thrill about being able to hide. And you know what? I've rediscovered hide and seek because my little girl loves to play it. And you know what, little kids aren't very attentive, and so despite my size, I found that I can quite easily hide from her behind a doorway, and she'll just run past me, and I'll think I'm very sneaky, but really, it's just she's got no sense of, you know, looking behind doors yet. She's starting to cotton on, though. But it was fun playing hide and seek, because what would happen is someone would put their hands over their eyes, and that would be it, right? And they would start counting. 10, 9, and you felt this thrill, I've got to hide. I've got this amount of time and I've got to run and I've got to find somewhere under the bed, behind the cupboard, behind the curtain. And it kept on going down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Will I be able to hide in time? Time was getting shorter. And the shorter that time got, the more serious it was that I found some place to hide. And as time grew shorter, my efforts grew more frantic to try and hide away. Until that fateful chant would ring out through the house. Ready or not, here I come. Now, God isn't playing when it comes to the second coming of his son, Jesus Christ. It isn't a childhood game, but much like it, we are given prophetic ideas of what the end times will be like. We're given a countdown. We're given certain signs that will happen just before he comes. So that we can be ready, so that we won't be caught out. And he's given us enough evidence to know when we are getting closer to that moment when Jesus will return. So I wanted to talk, I guess, today about the second coming. And I might just put this back here so I can keep an eye on that as well. Can you all see the screen all right? You know, this is important to talk about for a couple of reasons. We're part of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and so the Advent, that means the second coming. So the second coming of Christ is so crucial to who we are. And yet I find we don't always talk about this as much, because we maybe know it so well, but it's important to talk about for a couple of reasons. First of all, there's a lot of false information in the world about these events. For all the people that tell you that the world is growing away from religion, there's a startling amount of these events that have taken place in recent history, of people who have said certain things are happening. And I feel even now with world events that seem to have just come out of nowhere lately, including what's happening over in Ukraine, I think people are watching the world more closely than ever. And it's very easy to be misled. And I'll just give you a few examples just in the last 20 years of what people have said. This gentleman, Chen Tao, he told the world that God was coming to Texas in a UFO in 1998. He had a lot of followers, and he gave the address where it was coming, actually. 3513 Richardale Drive in Garland, Texas. That's what he said. This is going to happen in 1998. It didn't happen. Followers of Nostradamus have alleged that this verse predicts that Osama bin Laden will attack the World Trade Center despite the fact that it didn't happen in 1999, they twisted it around and said, well, 9/11 somehow, if you make the numbers funny, it happened on 9/11. People are very, very keen to believe that this is true. Sun Myung-moon, leader of the Korean Unification Church, he said that the Kingdom of Heaven was returning in 1967. Jim Jones in Ghana convinced over 900 people to end their own lives in 1978. Moses David said the US and Russia would battle it out in 1986 and that Russia would win and the entire world would become communist. Has any of this happened yet, by the way? No. 1993. David Koresh predicts that Armageddon would begin at his ranch in Waco, Texas. Instead, the tragedy happens that we all know so well about. In 1997, Marshall Applewhite, the leader of the Heaven's Gate cult, convinces his followers to commit suicide so that their souls could join the nearby UFOs that were ready to pick them up. And there's a great list of people who have declared things like this. And you know, when you hear about these people, you might be tempted to have a little giggle. You might think, well, that sounds ridiculous. How can people believe that? But you know what, we can't really judge the people who believe these ideas, as crazy as they might sound to us, because these people actually have something in common with us, and it's this. They were searching. They were searching for answers about what is going to happen next in the world. They'd seen signs in the world that not all was right. And so they searched. They wanted to know. They looked at the world around them and the answers that they had just didn't add up. And so they searched. But they were misled. How do we avoid being misled? And if you ask yourself that question, how do I avoid being misled? Then you are not alone, because the disciples asked Jesus that same question. And we're looking at Matthew 24 today. If you've got your Bibles, open up with me to Matthew 24. The disciples knew there was a change coming as well. They were looking at the world around them and saying, this age can't last. What's going to happen? Have you got one? Just how big a change they couldn't predict. Everyone's got their Bibles? Just like kids playing hide and seek, the countdown right now for us is getting lower. And I'm only going to look at a few of these signs. There are many, many signs given by Jesus. I'm only going to look at three. So come with me to Matthew 24, verses 4. If you have a look in verse 3, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? They know there's going to be great turmoil. Jesus has just said all these things. He's pointing to the temple. I'll tell you the truth in verse 2. Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. What kind of events they must have thought are going to precipitate the destruction of their precious temple? They said, when is this going to happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? They're asking him, when are you going to come? What are the signs of your coming? And Jesus responds in verse 4. Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many. Here's the first sign. Many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and will deceive many. Well, I want to introduce you to a few people. The first one is Sergei Torop. He's the leader of the Church of the Last Testament. He lives in Siberia with his followers. He's an ex-Russian soldier. And when Russia collapsed, he went off into the wilderness and started his own church. You can see he's grown his hair long. He looks quite happy to be surrounded by people who adore him. And he claims that he is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what he says. I am the resurrected Jesus Christ. He said that he had a vision that told him so, that he was the resurrected Jesus Christ. And the goal of the Church of the Last Testament is to unite all of the world religions. Had you ever heard of them before I mentioned them this morning? Maybe. Maybe not. He's not doing that well, I think. It might take a little longer. Now, he also believes that UFOs will one day bring in a new era. I don't know what it is about UFOs, but it seems to be a common thread. But they're also strict vegans. They're egalitarians. They don't use money at all in their community. He has two wives and about six children. He has about 4,000 followers in Siberia, but 10,000 around the world. You think, oh, that's all right. There's only 10,000. That's a lot of people. What's the population of Hamilton? About 9,500. Can you imagine the entire city of Hamilton following one person as their saviour, Jesus Christ? Interesting. Jose, you've probably heard of this guy, Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda. He's the leader of the church called Creciendo en Gracia, which means growing in grace, a South American-based church with a massive following. He claimed to be Christ in human form. He said, I am the man, Jesus Christ. Now, this quote, it makes me giggle, but after he realized that he was Jesus, he changed Christmas to the date of his own birthday. He said sin didn't exist anymore. His followers started getting 666 tattooed on them. He also declared himself to be Antichrist. And you might think, how can this be believed? But he has over 2 million followers worldwide. There was a little bit of a setback to his ministry because he passed away last year. Although a lot of his followers have said that that didn't happen, that he is in fact immortal. And he's immensely wealthy. He's one of these guys who has a lot of cars and money, millions of dollars. People would just give him their property. And lastly, of course, Australia can't be left out. Alan Miller, A.J. Miller, he's an ex-Jehovah's Witnesses elder. And you can see here, he featured on Current Affair. And he's huge. He has also claimed to be the reincarnated Jesus Christ. His wife happens, he says, to be reincarnated Mary Magdalene. They've started buying up property in Queensland near Kingaroy, and he started touring the US to pass on his message. He has a lot of followers, and he's making people move to Queensland to buy property around where he lives. He claims that he remembers the last 2,000 years of history, that he remembers being Jesus. He claims while he was in the afterlife, he remembers meeting Plato, Aristotle and Socrates and Gandhi and Moses, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And he says after 2012, there are going to be worldwide floods, including around Australia, and that Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane will all be gone under 100 feet of water that's going to rise from the ocean. He said that's going to start around 2012. Well, that was a couple of years ago. And you'd think that people wouldn't believe it, but a lot of people follow these people because they're confident, they usually handle Scripture very well, and they're very sure of what they believe. Now, I don't know if you've picked up on both the confusing, misleading people, and these three that have claimed specifically to be Christ, there's a common thread, you know, that runs through it. They base their belief on themselves. They say, believe in me. They don't say, believe in God, believe in me. And that's how we can tell if it's a cult. If it says, I am the font of all knowledge and power, rather than God, then maybe you're in trouble. And so that's how we can be sure. Because it seems unlikely to us that so many people would believe. I mean, Jesus specifically said, watch out in this verse. Watch out. Take heed that you are not deceived. And I want you to think about this, how odd this is that Jesus would say this. He's literally saying to his disciples, sitting on the Mount of Olives, watch out, because over the next 2,000 years, people are going to pretend to be me. That sounds like lunacy to anyone. Why would someone pretend to be you, Jesus? They didn't know that he was about to die. They didn't know that he would be resurrected. He told them, but they didn't believe it. How can someone say, why would anyone want to pretend to be Jesus? He's about to be crucified. And yet, again and again, we see this fulfilled. There are lists online of people who have claimed to be Jesus, and the numbers are astonishing. This is just a couple of big ones that I pulled off the web. There are literally dozens and dozens of people that keep announcing to the world that they are Jesus Christ. This has been fulfilled word for word. And that's astonishing, because who would think that anyone would want to pretend to be a Jewish boy from the first century? And yet, again and again, people do. How would Jesus know that his name would hold such power over the coming of human history? How would he know to say that? Unless he knew the future. And he does. He said, this is going to happen. Many will come in my name claiming, I am the Christ. It happens again and again and again. I can be sure that Jesus knows the future just by this verse. What's the next sign that he gives here? You'll hear of wars and rumors of war. But see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Now, when Jesus speaks here about war, he's talking about something bigger than a normal border skirmishes. This is going to be nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. This is a war that's going to change the world. Not only will there be wars near, but you'll hear rumors of war from far off as well. The entire world will seem to be at war. And you know, for us, we hear a lot about war, so maybe we're kind of blasé about it. Oh, the US attacked who this time? Oh, look, there's another uprising here. Oh, look, there's been a coup there. It seems to be happening everywhere recently, doesn't it? Have you noticed in the news there seems to be something happening all around the world? But we forget the consequences, and we don't always see the suffering on the 5 o'clock news. But in the last century of human existence, we've made an art form of killing. World War I killed in the battles themselves between 9 and 16 million people. World War II, up to 73 million people died. You think these sound like great wars? And you might think, well, that's pretty big, but look, Genghis Khan killed about 40 million as far as we know. But the statisticians, when you ask them about which war in the world is biggest, they'll say World War I, without a doubt. Even though World War II killed more people in the battles, World War I, they hadn't discovered the fact that close troop quarters meant an increase in disease. And there was a pandemic that went through the troops and killed between 50 to 100 million people. That is the most deadly conflict in human history. The war, and the wars keep going on. There's no doubt in my mind that in the last century there's been a greater amount of wars than in any other time in human history. There's always been war, but the greatest number of deaths is World War I. Things are getting worse. But I'm encouraged because Jesus gives us comfort. He says, see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen. But the end is still to come. These wars aren't the end, but it is a sign of the end. It's one of these signs. I'm really grateful that Jesus gives us comfort. I'm grateful because it means that Jesus knew this was going to happen. It meant that Jesus looked down through time and could see these wars. And he said, don't be afraid. Be comforted. Don't be alarmed. Such things must happen. What else does Jesus say will happen next? There'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. Not in a specific place, not one big famine or one big earthquake, but everywhere, various places around the world. Now, here are the earthquake numbers from 1973 to 2006. Can you see the increase that's been happening lately? There's been an increase in the number of earthquakes happening worldwide. And it's not just earthquakes that seem to be getting worse. And boy, look, I'm starting to sound like one of those. Things are going to be doom and gloom. But look, Jesus wasn't like that. He said, be encouraged. These things are going to happen. He said, if you see these things happen, you know that the end is near. Along with the Office of the U.S. Foreign Disaster Assistance, the CRED, which is an organization that tracks these emergency disasters, they keep a database called MDAT, An event is characterized as a natural disaster if it kills 10 or more people or leaves at least 100 people injured, homeless, displaced, or evacuated. An event is also included in the database if a country declares it's a natural disaster or if it requires a country to make a call for international assistance. So this group of people who keep track of international disasters say, all right, we're going to call it a disaster if more than 10 people are killed or more than 100 people are homeless. Now, these people who track disasters tell us this. The total natural disasters reported each year has been steadily increasing in recent decades, from 78 in 1970 up to 348 in 2004. They say we don't know why. They think it's got something to do with the water tables, again related to the earthquakes. And they say that a portion of that increase is, some people say that it's artificial. They say it's not really getting worse, it's just better reporting. But they've actually accounted for that in their numbers. They say two-thirds of that increase is actually real. It's not just better reporting, two-thirds of it is actually real. And the result of rises in hydrometeorological disasters. So, droughts, tsunamis, hurricanes, typhoons and floods have been increasing over the past 25 years. In 1980, there were only about 100 such disasters reported per year, but up to in 2000, over 300 a year. There's no doubt to me that there's been an increase in natural disasters. And I was watching a documentary the other day that's talking about this fracking. Have you heard of fracking? Where they drill down to get natural gas. And what they've discovered is that after they frack, that area becomes more earthquake prone because they're disrupting the way that the earth is built. So these natural disasters, so-called natural disasters, maybe aren't as natural as we think. Jesus said there will be earthquakes in various places, but also famines. The percentage of the world considered to be living with not enough food is 33%. Can you imagine that? There are 1.5 children that die every year from hunger. These numbers sound outrageous, don't they? I can't even conceive of that many children dying of hunger per year. This is from Facing the Future. There's been some hunger relief organizations that publish this kind of material. You know, you see those ads of hungry, starving African children and you kind of think, well, how bad could it be? The total people who will die this year on our planet from hunger alone is over 7.5 million. That means today, this one day, this Saturday, this Sabbath, over 20,000 people will die from hunger. Now, I've done some research into this, and in terms of what we have on the planet, we have enough food to feed the planet two or three times over. We've got plenty of food. There's no problem with that at all. What we lack is the willingness to give it to people who are starving to death. Now, that should outrage you. It outrages me. So every year when I was working at the school, we'd do 40-hour famine, and I'd take these kids and I would see these statistics come up and I'd say, how can we be like this? And yet Jesus said, this is what's going to happen. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. This is a greater loss of life from pure hunger than ever seen before, because there's so many people now. We're getting overpopulated. And you might say, well, so what? What are these verses that you're telling me about have to do with anything? Well, because in just a few short verses, Jesus managed to paint an accurate picture of our world today. If I asked you in 25 words or less to describe what the world would be like in 2,000 years, so accurately could you do it? No, I couldn't tell you what tomorrow is going to be like. I couldn't tell you if it's going to rain tomorrow or not. And yet Jesus again and again gets it right. So think about what he said. First of all, he's saying to his disciples, a bunch of people are going to come and they're going to imitate me. They're going to copy me and pretend to be me. Secondly, there's going to be unprecedented war on a global scale. And thirdly, there's going to be earthquakes and famines occurring everywhere. Do you see that happening? I see that happening. I don't need to do a lot of research. I just need to turn on the news at night. And that is exactly what I see every night on my news. Jesus got it exactly right. And when he gets this right, we can be sure that everything else that he said is accurate as well. But you know what? Here's another thought. What if one of these guys that we talked about, Alan Miller, says, hey, of course Tom's like that. I've just returned. Here I am. I'm Jesus. Therefore, these are fulfillments of me being Jesus. We need to know a little bit more about the second coming. We need to know a little bit more about what it's going to be like so we can be sure, right? So I'm going to give you a little bit more. Firstly, Revelation 1:7. I've been nice to you. I've been giving you the verses so far, but these ones you've got to look up. Revelation 1:7. These verses will show without doubt whether these people who claim to be Jesus really are. Revelation 1:7. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. Let me ask you, did every eye in the world see Alan Miller when he declared himself to be Jesus? No. Why is this important? You know, because some churches, including the Jehovah's Witnesses, actually teach that there was an invisible second coming in 1874. That Jesus came and we just didn't see him. But does that gel with what Revelation 1:7 says? No, not for me. So I'm going to lean on Revelation. I'm going to lean on Scripture when it says, every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth. Some, a few, just the people in Queensland and Kingaroy? No, all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. What else? What will we hear? Matthew 24:31. Here we go. Come from verse 30. At that time the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. That sounds like what we just read, right? Revelation 1:7. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky. Revelation 1:7 again. With power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from the one end of the heavens to the other. And John even says that even the dead in their graves will hear this trumpet call. Have you heard that trumpet call? No. When any of these false Christs have declared themselves, has there been a worldwide trumpet call that brought the dead from their graves? You think we would notice that, right? This is a shofar, by the way. Oh boy, I hope it's a sound like that. You can buy those over in Israel. It's the trumpet the shepherds used to use. No, Jesus has not returned yet. We would have heard it. The whole world would have heard it. And lastly, come to verse 27 here. Will it be secret? For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Is this a hidden event? Is this something that people wouldn't have seen? Is this an invisible thing that will happen in inner rooms? No. This is going to be an open event that everyone will see. The whole world will be aware when Jesus returns. They will see him. They will hear him. Everyone will be aware that this has happened. So by going by those verses, are any of the people that we looked at today Jesus? No. Absolutely not. You know, we can be sure of that and what Jesus said, because his words are accurate here. He's completely and accurately given a picture of what our world is like now, so we can trust him. But you know what? Every eye will see him. That kind of gives me a thrill. That excites me. Because if we can trust what he says, then we can trust what he said here in John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am. That's exciting for me. Because that's the thrilling part about the second coming. That's the exciting part about Jesus coming back. You're seeing him again. Seeing the one who died for me. The one who set me free. The one who gave me grace. That's the exciting part about the second coming. Not these dramatic world events. These are just signs to let us know that it's close. But because of this promise will be fulfilled. You know, we can hear a countdown. And I've got to ask you, are you ready or not? We can be ready. And we can be sure that it is soon because of what Jesus has said. We don't need to be surprised. We can be ready right now. We just need to trust Him. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be alarmed. I'm coming to get you. We just need to trust Him and obey Him. Let's pray. Father, we want to trust and obey. Lord, we want to trust You because Your word is sure. Jesus spoke these words 2,000 years ago, and look, they have come true. Father, we can trust them because, Lord, we see the evidences with our own eyes. We see the fulfillment of these prophecies around us every day. So, Lord, help us to trust also when Jesus says that He will return for us. And so, Lord, I pray that every day we give our hearts to You. I pray, Lord, that we look forward to Your coming, to Your soon coming, and that You help us to be ready. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless everyone.